May it please Almighty God to bless us as we meditate in his holy word this afternoon. Let's turn to the Epistle of Paul to the Galatians, chapter 3, and we'll read verses 2, 3, and 4. The Epistle of Paul to the Galatians, chapter 3, and reading verses 2, 3, and 4. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? As we read through the epistles or the letters that Paul wrote, we will find that he's always concerned that those who he writes to are the recipients of living faith, and they're not relying upon their own works, they're not relying on the things of the flesh, but they are relying upon that faith which is in Christ. And it was very relevant, of course, in his day. Perhaps we might say it was clearer in his day because, of course, in the Old Testament times, the people had been very concerned about keeping the law. But then in gospel times, we've been blessed with a glorious picture of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the gift of faith. And so this third chapter commences as he addresses the Galatians, and he says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? Well, again, the apostle is so concerned that the various churches that he writes to have a clear view and understanding of the blessed life and work and death and resurrection and ascension and intercession of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, such desires never become old-fashioned, never become out of date. And we today are wonderfully blessed with the New Testament, and especially the epistles of the Apostle, who demonstrate to us the wonderful glory of the life and death of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, and how his church, the living church, are blessed with faith to believe, and how relevant it is for us in the day and age in which we live, to examine ourselves. We are encouraged to examine ourselves. The Apostle says, examine yourselves, see whether you are in the faith or not. And that means, of course, the true faith. And that's what really the Apostle is speaking to us here, when he comes and says in the second verse, this only would I learn of you. There were many things, of course, which needed to be taught and instructed, but he says, this only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? He just wanted this one thing. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? And it's a big question for us today to have the evidence that we have received the Spirit of God through the hearing of faith. And that is through that great and glorious hearing, it's been conveyed to us the glorious truths of the gospel, and it's entered into our souls so that we are those who are true believers. Not those who are false believers, not those who just rest upon their own works, their own achievements, their own understanding, but to be blessed with those who are favoured by the works of the Spirit of God. Receive ye the Spirit by the hearing of faith. Well, we've all heard the gospel preached. Every one of us has heard the gospel preached. And I suppose the question we need to ask as to whether that word has entered into our hearts, and whether it's had an effect there, whether there's been a change, whether our lives have been changed, whether we have new ideals, new desires. What a blessing it is to know the work of the Holy Spirit. Because if we do know the work of the Holy Spirit, what we can observe is that by the grace of God, we are born again by that Spirit of God. And as the Lord Jesus spoke to Nicodemus all those years ago, when he said to him, "Ye must be born again. You must know that wonderful favour of the work of God in your soul." And that is God's work within us, because God's work gets the honour and glory. If you and I were to rely upon our work, we would claim the honour and glory. Now, God is a jealous God, and God will have the honour and glory. And that's why it is so important that we have the evidence that we have received the work of the blessed Spirit of God through the hearing of faith. What a mercy, what a blessing that is. You know, when the Apostle Paul again wrote to the Romans, as you know, we meditated in the third of Romans this morning, but in the tenth of Romans, he speaks very positively about the preaching of the gospel and about the difference. And he tells us in verse 10, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." So you see, we have here a very clear distinction. It's not just a believing in the mind, in our brain. It's a believing in a spiritual way in our heart. And the scripture says, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." What a mercy it is if you and I therefore have received that Spirit of God to believe on him. And the apostle goes on, it's instructive in this chapter, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That means whosoever shall pray from our heart. And again, it's not praying just from our head, just with a well-formulated prayer. It's just a true prayer which emanates from our heart. And that is illustrated so very clearly when the Lord Jesus spoke that parable about the Pharisee and the publican. And we're told the Pharisee prayed with himself. He was satisfied with his religion. He was satisfied really with this statement, the works of the law. And that's what he was depending upon. And he praised himself and thanked God that he wasn't like other people. And you see, he was satisfied with his religion. But by comparison, there was the publican, and he cried, not from his head, from his heart, a very simple prayer: God, be merciful to me, a sinner. So what do we see there? We really see the difference between someone who has received the Spirit by the works of the law and the one who's received the Spirit by the hearing of faith. Well, it will be a blessing for us today if we're able to analyze our own heart, our own experience, our own testimony, and to trace out the glorious work of the Spirit of God in our soul. Something that we didn't produce, God produced. God made a change. What a wonderful thing it was, and what a wonderful thing it is to look back in our lives and to see when that change occurred, the work of the Spirit of God. And so says the apostle writing then here, this only will I learn of you. That was the important thing. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And again, today, we need the same question, don't we? Put to us. We don't want to have a false religion. We don't want to be satisfied with that which is of the flesh. We want to appreciate that which indeed is of the Spirit, and therefore we have the wonderful evidence, as indeed the apostle wrote to the Ephesians when he said in the fourth verse of the first chapter, according as he, that's God, hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. You see, there's no glory to the flesh there. There is glory to our God. And as he goes on and says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Well, again, it's a wonderful subject, isn't it? We touched on it this morning, and it's important to understand the glory of it, of this redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And I believe if we are under the blessed influence and work of the Holy Spirit, and only you can tell that between your soul and God, no one else can, no one else knows whether you possess this great and glorious work of the Spirit. But one of the proofs is, if that is of the Spirit, you will rejoice in such a statement as this: in whom you have received redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. You will praise God. You will thank God for his abounding grace that has come to you, unworthy sinner that you are. My friends, we will all be on level ground. We'll all recognize and feel we're unworthy sinners. We'll all be in together and say, why me? O wretched, blessed God, why such a wretch as me, who must forever lie in hell, were not salvation free? What does that result in? It results in glory to God. And our lives are for the glory of God. Let us never forget that. And it's wonderful if, therefore, we are able to recognize this great and glorious truth, that the apostle tells us here that it is the great and wonderful work of the Holy Spirit. And of course, the Lord Jesus himself draws attention, the same attention to us with regard to his wonderful calling when he was on the earth and speaking to his disciples in that upper room. And in the 15th chapter of John's Gospel, we read those wonderful words in which he tells us, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain." Again, it's a very humbling thing, isn't it, when we consider God has graciously chosen us. When we look around the world and we see the billions of people and how many have been passed by, and to think that God in his wonderful love has called us out of darkness, has given us to understand this great and glorious truth of the gospel that we can rejoice in. Receive the Spirit by the hearing of faith. That's not a works, is it? That's by what God has done. Well, it's a very humbling truth, but it's a very comforting truth, because what it proves to us is it's not of the flesh, it's not of our own will, it's the power of God. And just ponder and realize it's the power of God coming upon us, convincing us of our condition, of our lost condition, and leading us to the Saviour, the power of God. What a wonderful blessing to have experienced the power of this Holy Spirit descending upon us. Whereas at one time we were blind, at one time we were deaf, but through the wonderful work of the Spirit, it's spoken here, by the hearing of faith, as we've heard with new ears, our ears have been opened to receive the gospel. We may have heard the gospel, we may have listened to the gospel for many years perhaps, but never heard it until the Lord comes and by his Spirit opens our ears. And what do we have to say with the hymn writer? "The appointed time rolls on apace, not to propose, but call by grace." It's a wonderful statement, isn't it? To think that God doesn't propose, God calls. And when he calls, we hear. What a mercy to hear the voice of Almighty God. We might say, in the words of the Song of Solomon, yes, the voice of our beloved, the beloved Lord Jesus Christ, who forsook his home in glory to redeem our souls. How wonderful it is to think of that. And we have these illustrations in the Word of God to encourage us and to strengthen us. And so, as he says, "This only would I learn of you, receive ye the Spirit by the hearing of faith." And really, what he's pointing us to is what he's spoken in the first verse, that ye should not obey the truth before whose eyes, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. What a mercy it is when before our spiritual eyes we view the suffering Saviour and we understand the cost of our salvation. It was nothing trivial. It was the life of the Son of God. Well, what a mercy that you and I can, by His grace, remember His dying love. We're favoured to be able to come round the table this evening, those who have put on an open profession, to remember what Christ has done. What a wonderful blessing it is that the Lord ordained us. Again, this is the work of the Spirit to show this unto us. Receive the work of the Spirit by the hearing of faith to receive these symbols which were shown way back in that upper room after the Lord had partaken of the Passover for the last time. There was no need for a Passover anymore. We touched upon the Passover this morning. No need for a Passover anymore, because now all those types and shadows had been done away, and now the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled those types and shadows by Himself. And we are able to remember the cost of the fulfillment of that great and glorious work. To think of His broken body, to think of His agony, to think of His shed blood, and all done in order to redeem our souls. Well, the Spirit by the hearing of faith. What a mercy then if that Spirit has entered in to our hearts. And whereas we perhaps have read these things perhaps many times, perhaps have had no effect, but what a blessing when by the grace of God you and I bow down and worship Almighty God. And that means we bow down and worship Him as our Lord, our Master, our King, with that true desire to follow Him, to do His will. You know, if we profess to be true Christians, we have the wonderful example of the Lord Jesus Himself when He prayed to His Father in those wonderful words, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And He knew what was before Him, the suffering Saviour. And to think that He suffered on our behalf. Well, if the Holy Spirit comes and opens our understanding by the hearing of faith, what a wonderful blessing it is. What a wonderful mercy it is. And as the apostle goes on to say, "Are ye so foolish?" We are foolish, aren't we? We've been foolish. We've turned away from the great truth of God. We've often ignored it. And yet, how merciful, how kind, how gracious is our God. Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? You see, if we are blessed with the work of the Spirit, then you see the continuance of that will be with that godly and right desire that we might grow spiritually. We might grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And growing in knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, means to have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Apostle when he wrote to the Philippians, he just gives us a little insight as to what he considered to be precious and real and of great benefit and of great blessing. And he tells us in the third chapter, he says, "What things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and to count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead." We have there quite a comprehensive statement of the Apostle Paul, and we really see there the desire, the concern that he had, and the effect of the Spirit of the hearing of faith. It wasn't something which was superficial. It was something which was real, and it was something which he truly desired. And he compares it with the things of this poor world and how he evaluates them as really of no consequence, of no value, compared with the knowledge of Christ, which is more precious than gold. Gold, you see, is probably the most precious thing that you and I can think of naturally. But, you see, the knowledge of Christ is far greater than that, because the knowledge of Christ is an eternal blessing. Temporal things we'll have to leave behind. Temporal things will be burnt up. Temporal things will fade away. But the great and glorious work of the Spirit will not fade away. By the hearing of faith, receive ye the works of the Spirit by the hearing of faith. Well, it'll be a wonderful blessing for you and me today if we understand something of the reality of fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ comes at a price. The apostle counted that price as dung and dross. Really, no comparison. And yet he had that great desire. And it's very important to recognize that he really brings it to a conclusion, as he says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Resurrection power is of the Spirit. And the fellowship of his sufferings, united to Christ in his sufferings, and being made conformable unto his death. It's a good place to be in. It's a very clear favour and evidence that we are born again of the Spirit to enter into this situation. And as he concludes and says, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Any means, whatever the cost. And as you and I will remember probably the apostles' life, and he gives us that great list when he wrote to the Corinthians of all the things that he'd suffered upon this earth. When you and I compare ourselves with what he suffered, well, there's really no comparison, is there? And yet, you see, he was greatly blessed, caught up into the third heaven, saw things which were unspeakable to mention. Blessed indeed with these great desires, these spiritual desires. What a wonderful evidence we have that this man had received the Spirit by the hearing of faith and not by the works of the law. And we can compare that, can't we, in his life. Because remember, before that Damascus Road experience, he was depending on the works of the law. He thought he was doing God's service. In fact, he was walking in a contrary way until the Lord came to the apostle on that Damascus Road. And he saw that wonderful light from heaven shining into his heart with such power. And he fell upon the ground and he was brought to that position where he came and said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What was that? Perfect submission. Perfect submission. He'd received by the Spirit, by the hearing of faith. Yes, God had come to him at that moment. What a change there was. Now, very few people have an experience like that. Most people probably have more the experience like Lydia had, where we're told, as she attended to the words of the apostle, the Lord opened her heart to receive them. It doesn't say it gave her a great, wonderful, natural understanding. Nothing wrong in that. But the Blessed Spirit opened her heart. And that's what all of us need. The work of the Holy Spirit to open our heart, to receive the great and glorious truth of God. And so, as he comes on and says, are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect in the flesh? He didn't want the Galatians to change their course. He didn't want them to move across to their old ways, to go back to that. No, he wanted them to stay in that position that God had placed them in, and therefore he asked the question, are ye so foolish? He says, have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it yet be in vain? We should expect to suffer in this world. We should expect a life of opposition. The Lord Jesus tells us, doesn't he, when he was on the earth, in the last chapters in the Epistle of John, he tells us there what we are to expect. There are always perhaps things that we want, but nonetheless they are good things and they are blessed things, and we should be thankful that we have a God who does come and give us these wonderful blessings. And he tells us it is through much tribulation that we shall enter the kingdom. Somehow we often seem to think that's for someone else. Well, he doesn't say that. No, it's for all of his people. These things I've spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. And remember, peace by his cross as Jesus made. Fellowship. in his sufferings. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. It's wonderful, isn't it, to have such a Saviour. It's wonderful to be able to rejoice, therefore, in his finished work. And therefore, have ye suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain. But of course, it's not in vain, if they are used for our spiritual good, if they are used for the enlarging of our spiritual life, and if they are used to bring us closer to Christ. You know, the hymn writer says, isn't he, as we've sung, oh, for a closer walk with God. Sometimes we can sing those words quite glibly, not realizing what they entail. Nonetheless, it's a good desire and a right desire, because a closer walk with God entails fellowship with God. It entails spiritual life. It entails eternal blessings. And therefore we should desire that, and to recognize that, well, we are called to suffer. And as we read down this third chapter, as we came to that account of Abraham, and Abraham, so then they which are be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Abraham's faith was tested. If we're blessed with like faith, our faith will be tested. And so he goes on, for as many as are of the works of the law, remember the apostle speaking against relying on the works of the law, as many as are the works of the law are under the curse. Why? For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. That's the truth. That's the law of God. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. You see, faith is not something which is tangible to our natural mind. It's not something that you and I can grasp. It's that which God gives to us. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So we can realize Christ took our place. Now then, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? By the hearing of faith directs us to Christ, paying the price for our sin, hanging on that cross at Calvary. What a great and glorious Saviour we have. What a wonderful and glorious Master we have. Are we willing to serve that despised and crucified man, realizing the cost of our salvation, realizing what the Lord passed through? Oh, my friends, let us never underestimate the enormous cost. And so the apostle goes on to say that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that ye might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Well, what a mercy today, if you and I can understand why the apostle was so concerned that the Galatians might understand the great difference between receiving the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. And may you and I be blessed with living faith to believe the truth of the gospel and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in our flesh. Amen.